The Gospel lesson is found on page 882 in your pew Bibles. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Mark. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Jesus said, "But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away before all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But of that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight or at cockcrow or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Heavenly Father, we are thankful that we can come together to worship you this morning. We do so at the beginning of this Advent season with an awareness that this is more than getting ready for Christmas. It is living as your people in anticipation of your return. Father, this morning as we come with that anticipation, strengthen and equip us to live that life you have for us here and now. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, it was the big announcement that kicked off the week this past Monday. I don't know if you heard it, the news coming from England that Prince Harry and Meghan Markle were officially engaged to be married. No one was especially surprised by that. I mean, there have been signs and indications, a progression of events suggesting a trajectory toward this. Still, most everyone was delighted to hear the news. Video clips were shown of the town crier in full regalia, ringing his bell and shouting, "Oye, oye, oye, Buckingham Palace is proud to announce the engagement of Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. God save the Queen." The problem is that town crier was not real. I don't know if you knew that. He was the self-appointed 81-year-old Tony Appleton, who has a fancy costume and likes running around playing the part. Even so, having said that, the news was true. The announcement was authentic. Well, as we begin this year's Advent season, we get to listen in on a conversation Jesus had with four of his disciples, Peter, James, John, and Andrew. And I was struck by the fact that we had there two pairs of brothers. Peter and Andrew were brothers, and James and John were brothers. They'd asked about the timing of some significant events Jesus had been describing. Well, today's gospel lesson is part of his extended response in which Jesus makes the announcement regarding his coming again at the end of time with great power and glory. What are we to make of that announcement? As we seek to answer that, I want to draw our attention to three particular phrases. In his explanation, Jesus uses the phrase, "in those days," right at the beginning of our lesson. This follows all of what he had been describing in the previous 23 verses. reading through that, it sounds like lots of ugly stuff. The destruction of the temple and the whole city of Jerusalem. False messiahs making false claims. Wars and rumors of wars. Persecution of believers. Betrayal by family and friends. Ugly stuff described by Jesus as a time of tribulation. And yet, those events also serve a positive purpose. It would be reasonable for people to become distressed and despairing in the light of such things, wondering, how could God let all of that happen? But Jesus points to them in a different way. He points to them as reminders to Christians of the trajectory of God's purposes, as in, He is working out His plan, which includes time for the preaching of the gospel throughout the world. After all that stuff takes place, in those days, Jesus says, even more dramatic things will come about. Celestial signs and events that could be even more unnerving than the ugly stuff before. In those days, Jesus explains, is when we will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Drawing from the prophetic vision from the Old Testament book of Daniel, Jesus is making it clear that he will come again. In that day, it will be different from his first coming. The first coming was to carry out his work as the suffering servant. The second coming will be to carry out his work as the triumphant king. Part of the reason why some had trouble acknowledging Jesus as the long-expected Messiah was because in their expectations, they had conflated the second into the first. The true fullness of the Messiah is seen in both his first coming and his second coming. The parable of the fig tree simply correlates the events Jesus has mentioned with being indicative that the time is drawing near. They are signs reinforcing the announcement to be seen as preceding and reminding us of his coming again. In that way, they are, as one person put it, an antidote to despair. That's only true because the authentic Messiah was making an authentic announcement. So the events serve that positive purpose, reminding us that he is coming again. As Jesus clearly announced, it will happen. Well, as Jesus continues his explanation, he uses the phrase of that day and hour. Verse 32, we hear Jesus saying, "But of that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but the Father alone." What he says about that day and hour is cause for frustration for those who feel they need to know every precise detail. But before we get too huffy about it, consider the implications. We aren't left out of the loop any more than the angels in heaven or even Jesus himself. We've all heard people use that expression, "God only knows." It comes out in different ways. The frustrated parent wondering why their son mindlessly broke out all those windows. God only knows. The baffled commuter wondering how much longer this road construction project is going to take. God only knows. The tired parishioner wondering when the sermon will ever end. God only knows. See how they take me, Louise? Understand, that is not what is going on here. As if Jesus was exasperated with the situation. Jesus wasn't complaining and stating the Father alone knows that day and hour. He was speaking of his confident trust that it will come about in God's perfect timing. That is where this becomes comforting to us rather than frustrating. Our trust in God allows us to trust him with the timing of that day and hour, even as we look forward with eager anticipation of all that it means when Jesus comes with power and great glory. The third phrase I want to highlight is when Jesus tells us, take heed, keep on the alert. It is precisely because we don't know the precise day or hour that we need to remain vigilant. Not holding our breath as we hide in the closet, that's not what he's talking about. But actively watching as we actively serve. The comparison Jesus makes is of servants left in charge of caring for the master's house while he is gone on a journey of unknown duration. They go about their duties even as they wait and watch for their master's return. Folks, that is to be the nature of our active engagement in the work he has given us to do until he comes again. Jesus reinforces the same point as an encouragement for all his followers, not just the four disciples in that quiet place. He says, speaking to the four, he says, what I say to you, the four of you, I say to all, be on the alert. Last week I mentioned the first gathering of our new Vision Leadership Group on Tuesday evening. There are four people who are part of that group, but the work is for each and every one of us here at St. Paul's, not just those four. We all have heard the announcement that Jesus will come again. Our efforts of living into the vision that God has set before us is how we are seeking to stay actively engaged in serving our Master, even as we wait and watch for that great and glorious day. As we make our way through this Advent season, we are keeping this truth before us. The great I Am has announced that he is coming again. We set apart the 4 weeks of Advent not as a reminder of the number of shopping days left until Christmas, but that our Lord and Savior is coming again, just as he told us. This past Friday, the Breakpoint Daily column carried the title, I loved it, Advent. Jesus is coming, and this time it's different. As the column explained, Christ's second coming will be different from his first. He will return in glory, not obscurity. He will return as the king of the universe, not as a nobody in an obscure corner of the Roman Empire. And this time, he will do the judging. Conscious of that, Advent is a season with strong penitential themes. We'll talk more about that next week. As believers, we also smile because we know when he comes, it will bring about the full culmination of our salvation. We trust God for the timing, even as we pray, Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.